Well, back to anime in a chapter of, I guess, my library, my collection. Back in 1999, and I know it was before I moved back east, back here, I discovered the Yahoo auctions in Japan. And being home gave me a lot of free time. Having a history with Japanese culture, Japanese language, I was able to understand a lot of the rudimentary and basics of what I was reading on the Yahoo site.
Mm-hmm. Let's pause for a little introduction on that. Yahoo, of course, is worldwide. And the Japanese contingent has a lot of features that we do and others that we don't. And the Yahoo Japan auctions are a massive treasure trove mm-hmm. of merchandise.
And, unlike a lot of Yahoo, it's exclusive to Japanese only. Uh-huh. Well, this, to me, was, you know, challenge accepted. And it just so happened, I ran into somebody. Her name was Heather, who was an American, who was there, one of these English teachers in Japan.
Okay.
And to get a Yahoo account to buy directly, you needed a Japanese address and a Japanese bank card. You might find a seller once in a while that's willing to go outside. And I did, actually, a couple times outside the country. She helped me get not only an address inside, she helped me get a bank account in Japan. And I had a Japanese bank card. This changed the world.
Well, it was the next big logical step for anime fandom and the anime community to have direct access to merchandise without actually having to go there.
Absolutely. I did have a few Roman albums. I had the Perfect Manuals that I picked up way early in the early 70s or mid-70s from this place, TKRM or TKRP or whatever it was. It was just one of these American places that sold a few Japanese things.
Okay.
And it was the books I had were in average condition, but I didn't have very much. I did have a lot of Star Blazer stuff because my connections with friends involved with Star Blazers, I had a lot of very exclusive promotional materials.
Yeah. And these are friends we all know.
Friends
point,
we know,
right?
Michael Pino and Brian Strelnick. And I was actually at the offices. I went to New York once and was at the offices, met Claude Hill. Was very enthusiastic with Star Blazers.
So this was prior to Voyager Entertainment taking it over? Right?
Yep. Okay. I started buying some things for myself off Yahoo. And when you have a lot of income, as I happen to have at that point, even on disability, when you open up the door to the vault of your dreams, every sense of discipline does not seem to exist. Money.
And you find justifications for going to ends that you'd never even imagined.
I would not. And so I started buying. For me, I started buying everything that I could. And that included everything from children's porcelain bowls to the books to the toys. There were some toys, I mean, a lot of things I avoided because I knew there was just too much. I just couldn't get it all.
Right.
But then that was put on hiatus when we moved. Moved here to Washington, bought a house. And then decided as I was looking at all my stuff, I thought, you know, I'm paying all this money with no return. I've got to do something to change this. And I looked at my books and I started looking for these books, and they were cheap. Oh my gosh, they were cheap. I did pay a few dollars, mind you, it was very cheap, to have them packaged at the central address that I had, but that was it. And of course, yeah, there was some seller fee. But it was all pretty cheap. And so I
looked. Certainly cheaper than flying there.
Oh my goodness. So I would buy, I'd look at a book that I'd want, and I'd find it. And I kept buying that book. I might buy 5 of that book. Now, of course, the whole auction thing was new here, right? It was new here at that period. The internet was starting to become, exploding. eBay had just been introduced, a year or two before. And I would get in multiple copies of a single title. I may have spent, we'll say, $100 on the whole thing, on say, 5 titles.
Now, when you received the package of your winnings, was it all consolidated into a single box? And
yeah,
they'd arrive a couple times a month, maybe?
Every 3 weeks, maybe.
Okay.
I'd have, depending. If I bought a lot of stuff, then it was sooner. So it all depended on that. But Heather would pack everything up. You know, and when the box was full, she'd send it.
Yeah.
But
and there must have been something in it for her, too.
Right. I'd pay her to pack this stuff up. And it wasn't, she didn't charge very much. She was happy to do it. So in that, let's say I paid $100 for 5 copies of a title. I would examine them. Take the very best one for myself, sell the 4, and maybe make $200 off eBay, and not only is my copy free, I've made profit. And I did that with practically every title I could find. So my library not only was becoming big, it was big and mint. It was, I found a variety of quality books.
Sure.
And so I had, my library is mostly excellent to mint. If, I just kept the quality. And I turned over the copies. And then it got to the point where I was finding actual book wholesalers. About 25 books off a book wholesaler, used bookstore, of the TV Asahi's Battleship Yamato wreckage dive. You know, I sold those things. Even cheap did I sell those things. I made so much money. And I was starting to get introduced. I was actually buying directly from bookstores. Specialty items that people were starting to come to me to ask, were looking for. So I found a lot of war buffs, history buff, people who wanted technical designs on planes. So using my knowledge, but knowledge I had of Japanese, my connections, and my ability to navigate, having the time, it was my business. And for a couple of years there, I was doing a lot of sales. and giving out even some of the Yamato stuff to fans and passing on and selling stuff, being a resource that Star Blazer fans and Yamato fans didn't have at the time. Especially this old school stuff that you just don't see. So there was, people would come to me wanting, you know, stuff of Yamato 3 because it was so rare, and I'd get them Yamato 3 books and MOOCs. In a sense, it was a service to the community, but I didn't mind making the profit. I went into projects. Now, I started my website, the spacecruiseryamato.com. Started that in 2000, maybe, 2001.
So it would have been one of the first.
Perhaps. There was the Deslox one. I know that was out first before me. And
okay.
There were a couple others that were just...
Space fanzine Yamato was pretty early. Or space webzine, rather.
Space webzine, I think, was already in existence.
Uh-huh.
But then I started with the products, the titles I was getting. There were all of these plans and drawings, but they were, of course, marked in Japanese, and some of it you could translate, but some of it was more complicated. And I found in all these books these, you know, interior designed, these drawings, these plans, these specifications, and I thought, you know what? Fans would love to see, you know, these designers' ideas translated. So I looked up my library, and I would get the titles that were so badly damaged I couldn't really do anything with. You know, would rip them up and scan them, and you know, and I would send my stuff. I made arrangements with Jeff Blend in Texas, who was capable of translation, and he would translate all these drawings for me. Mm-hmm. Then he'd get them back to me. I would make a graphic and put his translations in there, and then put it on the website.
And Jeff goes way back. He was one of those first generation fans, just like
us. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he was into it. Well, he was into conventions my understanding, conventions in animation, science fiction at the same time I was introduced to it. But he did a lot of translation work for me. I even hired certain companies to do translation work for some of the manga that was coming out. I paid a lot of money to have, I think it was the Great Yamato manga series, mm-hmm. translated, and I made graphic. I graphically redid the whole thing.
So you put all the lettering in, right?
Absolutely. It was on the site at one point, but it had gone through so many different changes. As I started losing energy, and I was not feeling well, my motivations to continue working on the site just started to drop. Okay. And that's also kind of a regret, because I know that if I just did one tiny thing every day, something would have been accomplished, but I kept putting it off.
Well, there's also the factor that this really is a bottomless pit.
It is.
And
that's a good point.
I can't imagine ever being finished with my website.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to Kelly about that, because she was trying to get a feel for our connections, and I said that you had started doing some work for the Voyager website,
right.
And that the site was initially just a retail page, and that you started bringing content. Mm-hmm. I remember at one point my site was so huge. And I don't know why I changed it other than to make it look less archaic, because it was very basic looking. That was my downfall. I just kept trying to update it.
Uh-huh.
And the more I updated it, the less I kept putting the content back
Oh, okay.
And then, of course, the whole idea of the site was not only just the space cruiser, but all the incarnations of Yamato. Mm-hmm. The sailing ship, the battleship, Yamato 1's electromagnetic ship, 2520, the Great Yamato, the Giant Yamato, the two different Matsumoto versions.
Yeah.
You know, thank God I couldn't. You know, so it was getting huge.
Yeah, it was a different approach than StarBlazers.com originally had, which was more about the franchise at mm-hmm. large.
Mm-hmm.
I think you were more into the in-universe materials.
Yeah, I wanted to present this technical knowledge base, in a sense. But I kept changing it, and then, of course, my energy changed, and it just dropped off, and never really finished it.
So there's content that was available at one point, but is now
not there.
In stasis, waiting to come back in some way.
It could be. I haven't... It's there. And I have a lot of Jeff Glenn's work in hard copy that I haven't transcribed into a graphical image.
Okay.
But a lot of his work. He worked hard. And that's also a regret. In a sense, I feel I let him down because I didn't put my full efforts into all of his efforts. I do have a lot of his translation work.
Okay.
And he did more than just the space cruiser. He did the battleship Yamato and some other stuff. Uh-huh. And so I have all these hard copy sketches and notes of his work that may be unseen.
Not if I have something to say about
well,
it.
Well, you know, my goals were lofty. But I do remember when you put some content in there, and then I remember how it started to grow a little. And I was keeping an eye on what, you know, I kept an eye on your page and how it was growing. And for a while it motivated me. But I was also trying to deal with various other pages. My own personal page. I wanted to do an animation page on how to do animation and cell painting and stuff. I was big into that. I wanted to do it, but I was introduced, Brian introduced me that when I was out there. He said I wanted to know how to do one, and he helped me. And my very first cell painting is actually hanging on the wall in the den.
Is that the Cosmo Tiger I saw?
It's a Valkyrie fighter, Macross.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yes, that was my first one. And I believe behind it is another one I did much later, my Taz, which I have a picture of in my room, my office. So I wanted to take my library, take content, present that out into the internet, and I had a lot of people follow me, in today's terms. I had a lot of people contacting me, not only wanting to know where the stuff's coming from, but wanting to buy, and very interested in more content, and making requests. Oh, I'd love to see about this ship, or this, or that. You know, if social media were the way it was back now, that it was back... if it was like it is today, back then, I can imagine that the place would be pretty popular. I can imagine. I don't know. I wanted to do something different, but the goals were just a little too lofty, I think. And unfortunately, my priorities in time delegation changed through the last 5 years to... it just was not enough to... keep me going. But I had a lot of good experience with Yahoo. It really was a business. In the other house, I had a room. I had my own office, and I had my shipping room. I had the UPS account. They'd come by, It was professional shipping and the whole, had everything. At one point, I had probably the largest amount of collection. You know, if not the top three in the Western world.
I don't know how you would even measure for comparison.
Well,
other than just knowing that you've got everything within a category and then multiple categories.
There's one, yeah, but I talked to other people, big collectors, you know, that thought they had big collections. You know, yeah, they had 30 books. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have 350, you know, and it wasn't just that I had one copy. It wasn't that I had the three issues of the first Yamada manga. I had then the different version, and then I had the reprint version, you know, and I kept up with all of that. And then the toys and all the ancillary products, I stopped really getting that stuff and really focusing in on the library. Mm-hmm. Because the library was what's going to feed the website with content. Mm-hmm. But again, that changed. So now I have this library. There's a portion of it in my room, in my office. There's a portion of it in boxes. There's a portion of it in the garage. It all has to go. Can't take it with me. You know, so I'm wanting to sell it, but I've already given out to people. I've already sent stuff out to people. I just sent my entire poster collection, basically my entire poster collection out to someone. Just because I just don't have the energy to individually try and sell each individual poster. Not only would it take time, it's energy I just literally don't have.
Right.
So I just wrap the whole thing up, shipped it out.
Well, there's also something unique about having all of them in a single place, and I think to break them up again would be kind of tragic in a way.
It is.
Because it took so much time and effort to bring them all together.
Yeah.
That in itself is something of value. It should be preserved.
Well, I agree. I guess I can't put a dollar value on what I spent, because honestly, it's an awful lot.
Right.
So for me to take some 500 books I have now, or the 500 titles that I have, and say, I want to keep this all together, I'm going to give it to Person X, or there's no way I could ask for money. But on the other hand, if I did, it would be so astronomically high. But I'm at this point where if I don't do something with it, whether I sell it at 10 cents off the dollar or give it away, when I'm gone, there's really not going to be an advocate to try and pursue selling them. There's not a lot of choice but to find a recycling bin.
Yeah, that's something that has occurred to me more and more often as fandom ages and we start to lose people. Mm-hmm. Fred Patton, you know him.
I'm familiar with what he did, yeah.
He donated his entire collection to a university. And whereas I don't think many people will have full access to it, at least we know it's been preserved.
Mm.
And it still exists. It hasn't been dissolved into particulate matter or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see more and more cases where it becomes an issue. You know, what do you do with all these gigantic collections that people have assembled over the years? The personal value of those collections is going to diminish as they pass from the owner's hands into someone else's hands because they didn't go through the experience that it took to learn about it and assemble it.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, and this is a little dark to consider, Japan itself is on a countdown.
Yeah.
One day, there will be an earthquake big enough to sink the entire country.
Well, there's
and
that.
At that point, I hope I never live to see it, obviously, and I hope it somehow gets diverted. But at that point, our collections are no longer just going to be isolated objects of incidental interest, but a preservation of a culture that has essentially been lost. And so their value will change at that point.
And to expand on that, if the earthquake doesn't happen, the fans of the age group that have these collections will pass. Mm-hmm. And those collections will face the same choices that I'm facing, whether they give them piecemeal amount, give them away piecemeal amount, sell them, or the family doesn't know what to do with it and tosses it. So that age group is still young enough, but it's approaching a point where, well, I guess you can't compare because Japanese people live a good 20 years on average longer than we do in the Western world. But still, that time would be coming that, in the same effect, as those things get thrown out and lost, yeah, these collections would be needed to have some preservation. Have you thought about the things that you have?
Every time I walk into my office and look at them.
Yeah.
And there is a museum. It's the, I think it's the Japanese American History Museum, downtown Los Angeles. I drive by there occasionally and wonder, when am I actually going to walk in there, sit down with somebody, and tell them, your culture is being preserved piece mm-hmm. by piece, and it would be a shame to have all that disappear.
Of course, they're in a big earthquake zone, too, so
yeah.
They got the big one coming.
Right, but somewhere in my head is the idea that there must be some sort of a network of museums. It could be international, that would see some value in offering archival assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something I do want to look into. I think that would be a step up from a university,
mm-hmm.
such as Fred Patton used. And then in other parts of my mind, I have images of these anime collector museums all over the country.
That's interesting, because as anime becomes this, it's a popular, it's been integrated so much now in our culture.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think if I actually heard of one yet, but having an anime museum mm-hmm. like they do in Japan, I can't see being too far off.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think they have much of one in Japan. There are a few places here and there that will collect things like libraries, but I don't know that there is a thriving museum community for their pop culture.
I guess I'm thinking more like the Matsumoto Museum, the Ghibli Studios Museum.
Right. They have a very specific focus.
Specifics, but not a general.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. The closest thing we have is the Science Fiction Museum here in Seattle,
mm-hmm.
Which is nice, but it's kind of small.
Well, they want to make the big one in D.C. now.
It's a bit scattered, yeah.
Yeah.
But who knows how much of American science fiction history has been lost with all the fanzines that have disappeared over time.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how it'll all end with my collections of stuff. Mm-hmm. I have been selling. I've sold most of the toys already. But I do have, it's not just Yamato I have. I have, I love Gundam and I've got Kiki's Delivery Service and I've got Labusha and I've got, I've got just a lot of stuff. I just don't know how that's just going to turn out. I was never really involved with any of the other communities, the Macross community or the Gundam community. And I did not put a lot of focus on a lot of those titles.
So you didn't pull in multiples like you did with Yamada?
No. For instance, my three Gundam Roman albums for the three movies actually came from an estate of a Gundam fan in Japan. Yeah. And I went through them and loved them and haven't looked at them since. I think they're actually in a box in the garage.